Such activity, one's heart is purified. Bhagavatam 551. In our material existence, we are impure, and therefore we cannot do anything wonderful. But if we purify our existence by tapasya, we can do wonderful things by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, tapasya is very important, as stressed in this verse. Om Agyanatamanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Minatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadah Mahyam Dharati Shvapadantikam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Sri Mante Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunivari Paschata Dishitarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siya Dvaita Garadha Shivashari Gaur Bhakti Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So before beginning to speak on the verse, as it says here in the verse, that Lord Brahma thought himself incapable, I also feel myself incapable, especially of addressing such an audience composed of great personalities from all over the world, leaders of our movement, great Sankirtan devotees, devotees who are sacrificing their lives to serve the Supreme Lord. But actually, somehow or another, Krishna put me here to get purified by your grace. So I'm sure that by your mercy I can say something to serve you. So here in the verse, it's mentioned Mahadev, the chief of the demigods. Lord Brahma is such a powerful personality, so powerful that we cannot estimate, we cannot understand from our own intellectual position the power of his intellect. We can't understand by our ability what his capabilities are. But yet, even this great personality, who is inconceivable from our point of view, has here tapas atapyata. He has to perform very great austerities, dharunam, extremely difficult austerities. And so this means that anyone, in any position, just like in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam is described, when Lakshmi Devi is offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she says that actually even great personalities like Shiva, Brahma, the demigods, and all kinds of great personalities throughout the universe cannot approach you by any other means other than devotional service, which is given by your devotee. So even no matter what our position may be, the only way we can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead is through devotional service. Here Srila Prabhupada is mentioning tapa in the purport, austerity. Austerity is very nicely delineated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. He describes the austerity very thoroughly, practically more thoroughly than any of the other particular characteristics that he describes in the 17th and 18th chapter for maintaining oneself in the mode of goodness and thus being able to approach him. He says that austerity of the body means worshipping the Supreme Lord, the Brahmins, worshipping the spiritual master, worshipping the mother and father. It means simplicity, non-violence, means cleanliness. These are symptoms. These are austerities of the body. If a devotee has to strive to be clean and orderly, Srila Prabhupada says, internally, by chanting the holy name, and externally, by being pure, because this body is considered to be very impure. One time someone asked me, why is it considered that a few drops of water here and there will purify oneself? It's not the physical act of a drop of water that's purifying the whole body. But it's the act of purification. The consciousness that this body is a material element. And anything before being offered to the Supreme Lord should be purified. We should have that consciousness. Simplicity. No. One should be as simple as possible in life. As Srila Prabhupada makes the theme of our movement, simple living, high thinking. And non-violence. Non-violence, Srila Prabhupada describes as being always attentive to the needs of the soul. And always doing what is best for the soul. This is real non-violence. This is the non-violence that Arjuna taught. Certainly not political non-violence. That was not his lesson. Even Lord Chaitanya sometimes became violent, like with Jagai and Madai, or with Chan Kazi, because they offended his devotees. So he became very upset. No. So even the Supreme Lord externally may show how one has to use force. Just like the spiritual master has to use force with the disciple. Discipline. Not physical force, but forcefully he has to teach the disciple how to become purified, how to advance in devotional service. So these are austerities that we should perform with our body. And then with the speech. With speech, one should speak first of all, and most importantly, one should speak truthfully. Actually, Srila Prabhupada describes in the Bhagavatam that truth is the last leg of religion. If there is no truth, if people are not honest and truthful, then the earth cannot stand, cannot bear such a situation. And then there'll be some reaction. If there's truthfulness, then there's some hope. But when truthfulness is destroyed, then no one can advance. No one can go on. No one can progress. Even though nowadays people are progressing materially, we see that by lack of truthfulness in religious principles, that everything is falling apart in the material atmosphere. So truthfulness, pleasing words, one should always speak in a pleasing way. Beneficial. One's speech should be beneficial. Otherwise, why say something? It's like people, like when I'm traveling in an airport or something, people just come up to you and say so many things. Or where are you from? Where are you going? All these different things they say, which actually has no real benefit. Krishna says to Arjuna, Shino me paramamba cha bhakshami hita kamyaya. That Arjuna, please hear this higher understanding, these more beneficial words, these more elevated teachings that I'm about to give you. And why am I giving it to you? Hita kamyaya, for your benefit. Giving it to you for your benefit. Because otherwise, why is Krishna speaking? Krishna has no needs. Krishna is Atmaram. Therefore we can understand that Krishna, when he speaks, it's for our benefit. Or when a pure devotee of the Lord, or when a surrendered servant of the Lord is speaking, it's also for our benefit. Because they have nothing to accomplish. The only thing they want to accomplish is the mission of the Lord. And what is the mission of the Lord? To save all the living entities from birth, death, old age, and disease, to take them back home, back to Godhead. So this is the benefit that we should yield with our words. And non-agitating. Srila Prabhupada describes non-agitating as don't speak to people, don't try to instruct people unless they want to be instructed. Otherwise, sometimes when we have a little knowledge in devotional service, we immediately feel that now I know so much, let me impose it upon everyone else. But actually, people will simply become agitated if you try to instruct them. Just like in the temple, if someone is a new devotee and he tries to instruct everyone, then everybody becomes agitated. Unless someone is very humble, which sometimes we're not. Every once in a while, we're not humble. So sometimes that happens. So therefore, we should try to instruct those persons who are willing to be instructed. Even on Sankirtan, Srila Prabhupada mentions, although Sankirtan is done indiscriminately, still a devotee is intelligent and he looks for that person who is most receptive. So we always want to be non-agitated, because there are so many living entities that need to hear about Krishna. So there's no dearth of persons who need to hear about Krishna. So if someone doesn't want to hear, then we go to someone else. And then the austerities of the mind. Again, Krishna mentions simplicity or non-duplicity. Our mind should be simple. We shouldn't let our mind dwell in duality. Actually, in the Bhagavatam, it says that because of duality, avidyamana, the ignorance is created. And one thinks that one's own intelligence is the supreme force. And one thinks that everything that the mind wants to accept or reject is the best thing for him. And this is all due to being absorbed in duality, duplicity, always trying to exploit material nature, exploit others, exploit a situation. So we should be free from duplicity. And the mind should be, most important, satisfied. Satisfaction means that one should give up sense gratification. Just the opposite of the material concept. The material concept is unlimited sense gratification means unlimited happiness. But the devotees of the Lord, the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, says that sense gratification creates dukkha jonaya evate. It creates so many miseries. Ajanta bandha konteya. Because everything that comes from sense gratification has a beginning and an end. All material desires, everything we come in contact with the senses has a beginning and an end. Therefore, it's not very satisfactory. Purifying one's existence, Srila Prabhupada says, by taking up Krishna consciousness. So these are the austerities that we should be interested in. These are the austerities recommended by Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada has mentioned, more than any other thing throughout his books, that the main austerity in our life is, who knows? Chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulated principles. If we can just do this, we don't have to worry about Brahma's tapasya. Actually, the Supreme Lord Vishnu here is explaining this to Daksha, because he wants Daksha to know that he has accepted his prayers. That his prayers, which previously were described as a meditation on the Supreme Lord, were just as satisfying, or just as satisfying as Brahma's austerity. And therefore there is division in Vedic society. The Brahmins have a certain type of austerity. The Kshatriyas have a certain type of austerity. The Vaishyas have a certain type of austerity. And the Shudras have a certain type of austerity. And even the Karmis and Mlechas and Yavanas, they also have austerity. Just like everybody is performing austerity. Therefore, when we speak about the austerity to progress in spiritual life, because everybody works, people actually, materialists perform more austerity than devotees. They get up in the morning, eat something very quickly, drink something, go to work, transport to work, get to work, spend all day at work, come back home. Then they have to take care of domestic affairs, usually some kind of domestic disturbance. Then they make a little peace every once in a while. A devotee, just like so many of you are here for 1 month, or 5 weeks, or someone may say, I want to go serve Krishna in Europe. How many materialists can do that? Well, I want to go serve Krishna here, or I'd like to serve Krishna there, or I'm going to India for 5 weeks. How many people can take a vacation for 5 weeks? So we're so fortunate to have these opportunities. But everybody has to do some austerity. So austerity is required in order to advance in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada mentions that austerity means preparing oneself, preparing the mind, preparing the body, and preparing one's intelligence to receive Krishna consciousness. That is the meaning of austerity. Actually, austerity does not create Krishna consciousness, but it creates the conditions favorable for Krishna consciousness. However, austerity is a product of devotional service. Therefore, as soon as we perform devotional service, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayadhyasu Bhairagyam Jnanachayada Haitukam, that austerity or detachment and knowledge are byproducts of devotional service. So therefore Lord Chaitanya is very merciful, because in Kali Yuga no one is inclined to austerity, and they're already forced to perform so many austerities. So if we present devotional service as something very austere, then people will think, oh no, this is not for me. Therefore Srila Prabhupada always said, chant and be happy. This is our mantra. Get people to chant, get people to taste the benefit of devotional service, to see that all their austerities are useless. And this is the real pleasure in life. Their austerity to attain material happiness is useless. And the austerity of devotional service, because it helps us control the mind and the body so that we can take the greatest benefit of devotional service, is actually beneficial. Of course, those austerities that result from devotional service, just like Lord Krishna explained to Devaki and Vasudeva, that previously they had performed so many austerities, and by those austerities they were able to receive the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son. Actually, they performed austerities for, what was it, 12,000 years or something like that. A long time. And they received the Lord. But it's not that by austerity you can create devotional service, because that's very clearly stated in the Bhagavatam. That sabhaikum samparo dharmo bhaktirdhoksa jay ahaituk yapratyata. Ahaitukiya pratyata. Devotional service has no cause, and by no motivated means can we create devotional service. Actually, devotional service comes from the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that it's not even caused by Krishna's mercy. Because Krishna has to be merciful to everyone. He has to be merciful to the demons. He has to be merciful to people who are performing other types of austerities. He has to be merciful to everyone. So it's actually not even the mercy of Krishna. But the mercy of Krishna can bring about devotional service. But devotional service is totally independent. But devotional service actually manifests by the mercy of the Vaishnava. This is how devotional service happens. It's not caused by austerities. It's not caused by penances. It's not caused by any of these things. Actually, one time Lord Chaitanya, in his Shiva Sangam, he was performing his ecstatic kirtans. Many people, it's described that hundreds and hundreds of people would want to go in, and many of them became very angry. And they would even criticize the Lord and his devotees. Why can't we go in? What are they doing in there? Something strange. Who knows? Better we don't go in. No, that's just like sour grapes philosophy. No. That I want something, but I can't get it, so it's not any good. But other people were very anxious to go in. Many devotees wanted to go, but they weren't allowed. And there was one brahmachari performing austerities. And he approached Shivas and he said, can you please allow me to go in? I've been pious all my lifetime. I just drink milk, eat fruits. I'm so austere. Certainly I deserve to go in there. What have I done wrong? So Shivas approached the Lord, and the Lord said, do you think that by some austerity, by drinking milk, by eating fruit, by doing this or by doing that, that someone can approach me? No. He didn't allow him to come in. Later on, he became purified, and he begged for the Lord's mercy, and then he was allowed. So only by begging the Lord, and only by taking advantage of the Lord's devotees, can we actually enter into devotional service. devotional service. Actually, Lord Chaitanya says, when he's speaking, instructing his devotees, he was describing that previously when I appeared as Krishna, in one instance, he was describing, when I appeared as Krishna, there was one washerman, and he performed so many austerities, and he performed so many penances, that he was able to see me, and I was ready to give him my mercy. But because he was not willing to perform devotional service, although he could see me, he could not take advantage of my devotional ecstasy. He couldn't take advantage of my potencies. Here it says in this verse that the Lord's potencies were understood by Brahma because his austerity was ordained by the Lord. So if we do some austerity that is not ordained by the Lord, then that austerity will bear no fruit. But if the austerity is prescribed by the Lord, just like the Lord and especially His devotees tell us to get up in the morning, go to Mangalarti, chant the Maha Mantra, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, hear the Bhagavad Gita, perform Sankirtan, all these things are certainly austerities. But because they're prescribed by the Supreme Lord and His devotees, then they are devotional service. But even if one sees the Lord, he can't really benefit. Just like so many people can see the deities. No. If a devotee sees the deities, his heart is captured by their beauty. He doesn't want to take his eyes off of them. He wants to meditate on them and serve them. Just like yesterday we had the offering to the deities. And because we know that everything, that they are the predominating controllers of Mayapur and of everywhere. There are deities everywhere, and they're the lords of whatever place they've gone to by their mercy. So a devotee can see, but a materialistic person cannot see. Because first of all, as Krishna said to Arjuna, we have to have Divya Chakshu. We have to have some inspiration from the Lord so that we can begin to see. Just like Lord Chaitanya gives us the inspiration by sending the Sankirtan movement all over the world. And then one has to have Jnana Chakshu, eyes of knowledge. One has to awaken one's devotional service by seeing with one's awakened intelligence. Just like Rupa Goswami prays, that my senses have always been my masters. And they treat me very cruelly, without shame, and incessantly engage me again and again in their service. But now my intelligence has been awakened by Yadupati, Krishna. And now He has given me His shelter. He is giving me His mercy. And I never want to leave Him. I always want to be His servant, not the servant of the senses. So the Lord gives us His mercy, awakens our intelligence, Jnana Chakshu. And we can understand what we should do and what we shouldn't do. But then finally, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasadayava Hridayeshu Bilokayanti. Finally, by being fully engaged in devotional service, to the point where we're so attracted to Krishna that we can't conceive of doing anything else, then our heart is imbued with love, is penetrated by love. And we can serve Krishna incessantly. Actually, when Lord Chaitanya was performing his Sankirtan pastimes here, one of his greatest kirtans was performed just before the incident, just after the Chankazi had broken the drums, the mridangas in Shivasangam. Then the Lord organized His great Sankirtan consisting of millions of persons, millions of devotees. And they all went toward the palace of Chankazi. And Lord Chaitanya was very angry. He was saying, this Chankazi will die. All of his soldiers will die. And he was going there. The kirtan got stronger and stronger. Everyone was completely in ecstasy. And when the Lord got there, He said, destroy this place. Kill this Qazi. Kill his soldiers. When his soldiers heard that, they immediately covered their beards and began to dance in the middle of the kirtan, no? So they wouldn't be detected,
no.
And immediately the devotees began to tear up the gardens, no, just tear up the house. And the Lord said, bring this Jankazi here. He was very angry because he had offended his Shivas and the devotees, beaten the devotees. Lord says, let me see what is his power now. And then all of the devotees got down on their knees. And they said, my dear Lord, actually you have appeared to distribute your mercy. Although certainly you can be angry or do anything you want, we understand that you have appeared to give your mercy. And then immediately Lord Chaitanya became very pleased. Very pleased because his devotees had given their mercy to an offender. So actually, the mercy of the Lord, the ability to do devotional service, the ability to attract the specific mercy of the Lord upon oneself is all done by approaching his devotees, by serving his devotees. Actually, even to chant the holy name, to do everything we're doing, just like so many times people ask the question, what about, why am I chanting and I'm not tasting, having any taste? Why am I doing this and I feel like it's burdensome, or I feel like it's routine? Because if we don't approach the devotees, serve the devotees, then even our chanting, even our devotional service becomes hindered. And actually the devotees themselves give us the inspiration to perform devotional service. Because when we see a devotee so enthusiastic, even a lot of times I see a new bhakta, and I see him so enthusiastically doing something, cleaning the temple, going out on Sankirtan, doing Harinam, jumping, and it helps me maintain my devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada said that he was very happy and enlivened to see the devotional service of the Lord. And even Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the topmost devotee of the Lord, Chatur Vidha Sri Bhagavat Prasadam, when he sees the devotees pleased, taking prasadam, he also becomes pleased. No? So serving the devotees is so wonderful because it creates enthusiasm, determination, and all of the good qualities necessary to go on in devotional service. It creates a desire to perform austerity. When we see devotees sacrificing their lives to serve Krishna, we become inspired by that austerity. We become inspired by that desire to serve. Otherwise, how will we get a desire to serve surrounded by materialistic persons? Well, just like yesterday was the we celebrated the festival of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, when he was surrounded, he could not find a devotee. He was so disgusted that he was going to go to the forest and simply meditate on Krishna. When we're surrounded by non-devotees, it becomes very discouraging. Of course, someone like Madhavendra Puri, he can just perform his bhajan. Ourselves, we become discouraged. We become distraught. We become confused. But if we see one devotee who is enthusiastically serving Krishna, if we get the blessing of a devotee, his association, who is enthusiastic in devotional service, immediately our determination, our enthusiasm increases more and more and more. Our desire to perform austerity, our desire to please Krishna, increases unlimited. Therefore, following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, following in the footsteps of all the great devotees of the Lord, following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, we should take advantage of this wonderful association here in Mayapur, kirtan, classes, seminars, the ability to ask questions and advance in devotional service. We should take advantage of all of this and increase in our enthusiasm unlimitedly. Srila Prabhupada said that we should come to India for 1 month for this festival, maybe a little less, a little more, and associate in kirtan, in hearing and chanting, and very enlivened, go back and preach with great enthusiasm. So I am very enthused to see all of the enthusiastic devotees, and I thank you all for enthusing me in that way and giving me this opportunity to speak. So I'll stop here and ask for any questions? Yes. The question is that I was saying that bhakti is independent, that bhakti comes of its own will, and yet Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that by performing pious activities in previous lives and in this lifetime, one can be freed from the modes of nature, and then one can have determination in devotional service. But that's actually the pious activity in previous lives and in this lifetime, as it says, frees us from duality, can liberate us from the duality of material existence. But it will not necessarily give us bhakti. But it gives us the favorable conditions to bhakti. And of course, if that pious activity or that austerity in a previous lifetime is ordained or ordered by the Lord, then it increases our devotional service. Because once one enters into devotional service, then that devotional service is favored by Rajya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. The Lord Chaitanya taught austerity. He taught the cultivation of knowledge, but all within the confines of devotional service. So, but anything done prior to devotional service can lead us to the point where we're in a more favorable condition, even to the point of being free from the modes of material nature. And then, actually what Krishna is saying there is that one can serve him with great determination. So otherwise he's also indicating that this is a person who's already interested in devotional service, has some interest in devotional service. And therefore, if he's acted piously in previous lives, in this lifetime, it will be easier for him to perform devotional service with great determination. Not that just because of pious activities he will be able to perform devotional service with great determination, but because he wants to serve Krishna. Otherwise, for other people, it may be more difficult. But still, devotional service is the answer. Devotional service is the solution. So whether, just like we see sometimes, someone comes to devotional service and they immediately start chanting, they're immediately attracted to service. In other people, they come, takes them 5 years or 10 years to even come to the point of chanting, just taking prasadam. Everybody comes to that point pretty quickly, taking prasad. But then it takes them a long time. So it's a greater struggle because everyone is in a different point of evolution. But once we approach Krishna, the solution is devotional service. That devotional service is easier for one who has performed devotional service, who has performed pious activities. But sometimes pious activities can be a detriment. Just like we see many times in India, sometimes people are very pious. But then when you try to explain the necessity of pure devotional service, they say, no, I know Krishna, I know this, I know that, I know the Vedas, I know. So sometimes their piety can act against them. As Srila Prabhupada mentions about the mode of goodness, sometimes the mode of goodness, one feels himself so peaceful and happy that one is not so interested in progressing. Even the demigods have a hard time progressing in devotional service because of their pious activities, they have so many facilities for enjoying. So sometimes pious activities can work against us. But if pious activities are combined with devotional service, then they create a most auspicious atmosphere for serving Krishna. Any other questions? Pardon? Yes. So Loganath Swami is commenting that many devotees said to Srila Prabhupada that how is it that we had such impious lives, so sinful? So how is it that we deserve devotional service? How have we come to this devotional service? And Srila Prabhupada responded that I am the cause. I am the cause of your devotional service. So therefore it's the mercy of the devotee who is bringing the mercy of Lord Chaitanya ultimately. That is the real cause, especially for us. What to speak of myself? Oh. Yes. Speak a little louder. Yes. The question is that in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that by austerity one can become powerful. So what does that power mean? What is that powerful? Oh, so if one becomes very powerful, how to become free from the pride that may come from that power? Well, first of all, austerity creates power, even for the demons. No? Hiranyakashipu performed great austerities and became very powerful. So, Lord Brahma, he realized that by being empowered by the Lord, he would become, that he had, there was a chance of pride. So he begged the Lord, please, don't allow me to become proud. And the Lord instructed him. So if we perform austerity, because actually Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that this is the last snare of falling down from the devotional platform. That after doing devotional service, one becomes a noted devotee. And then one thinks, yes, everyone is treating me so nicely, everyone is responding to me, therefore I must be very powerful. So he becomes proud. So the way to avoid that pride is to pray to Krishna, to please keep me engaged in your service, to chant the holy name, to serve the Vaishnavas, to understand that I'm simply an instrument. That's what Krishna told to Brahma, that you should understand that you're simply my instrument. That you should understand that you're an instrument. And that if you just take these instructions which have been given by me and you apply them carefully, then all realization, all knowledge will come in the right way. And of course, Lord Chaitanya's instruction, by respecting everyone else, by not looking for respect for oneself, one can become free from pride and have tolerance. All these things come from having the proper vision of how to deal with others, how to interact with the devotees, with the living entities. Samasarvasya bhuteshu, seeing all living entities the same as recipients of Krishna's mercy, then we won't become proud by our austerity. So there's a question here. It seems that sometimes due to some misdeeds performed by some devotees, this creates in the minds of other devotees feelings of dual nature. The devotees generally want to be open-minded and forgiving, but sometimes it is difficult to be very open and well-wishing when we see how materialistically and impersonally some devotees behave. So what is the proper way to react to and approach dual or dishonest behavior, especially when the misbehavior is performed by superiors or authorities? Before Krishna, just like Brahmaji here, he's very powerful, but before Krishna, he is a servant. So if someone is a big devotee or a small devotee, Krishna can always correct them. But in spite of anyone's misdeeds, first of all, it explains in the 11th canto, tate nukampam susamikshamano, that a devotee understands that everything in his life is ultimately coming about by Krishna's mercy, and atmakritam, and is due to his past misdeeds. Therefore, he patiently waits for everything to come, and with his heart, mind, and words, engages every instance and every circumstance, takes advantage of it for serving Krishna. So even if someone behaves improperly toward us, we should become strong enough in our own devotional service to show them how to behave properly and not be reactionary devotees. If that person happens to be a superior, of course we always have the opportunity to approach another superior, or an ishtagosti, or through another superior, humbly submit that this person is behaving improperly. No, but we can also rest assured that anyone who is behaving improperly in devotional service, as we've seen in our own movement, and we've seen in other cases in Vaishnava history, that anyone who's behaving improperly, ultimately Krishna will take care of them. Of course, it's our duty, especially those devotees who have some responsibility, to deal with devotees, and especially older devotees who misbehave. But if somehow or another they're not detected, or someone doesn't correct them right away, we should perform our devotional service and understand that by performing devotional service that we can ultimately please Krishna, please the spiritual master. And of course, if it becomes unbearable because of someone's, if one is actually sincere and another person's dealings are unbearable, then Krishna will give us the opportunity to change our service, go somewhere else, chastise that devotee. Something will happen. But we should understand first and foremost that nothing is happening to me by chance. No. That if something is, even if someone is disturbing me, then I can understand that Krishna sent this devotee. Maybe he lives in the same room or she lives in the same room, that to instruct me in patience, in tolerance, no, in humility, in developing Vaishnava qualities, to help me somehow or another advance. We should see them. Ultimately, the Uttama Adhikari sees everyone as his instructor. Everyone in every situation is my instructor. And I am simply being directed by Krishna's energy, by Krishna's mercy. So as much as possible, we want to develop that consciousness. Of course, we can't be foolish. And Srila Prabhupada said that everyone has a right to defend their devotional service. So if someone is actually disturbing our service, someone disturbs me as a person, I can be tolerant. If someone disturbs my service, then I can't tolerate that. No. If someone disturbs my opportunity to serve Krishna, then I have to take it up with someone in order to perform my service properly. So I think it's getting a little late. We can stop here. Thank you very much. All good. Shri Guru, Shri Gauranga, Shri Prabhupada ki.